Morning, everyone. The good crowd. It's been encouraging to have everyone be with us these past several Sundays. I hope we can keep this up, and I hope everyone is as encouraged by it as I am. Because we need to be here for one another. You know, we are in good hands. Ever think about that? We're in very good hands. Jesus himself said that he is the shepherd. Said that we are the sheep. Now that's in John 10. Over there in John 10 he says that the sheep hear his voice and they follow him.
Amen.
So we know that in order to be in good hands, we have to follow Jesus. We can't be in good hands. We can't be in the care of the shepherd if we're not following him.
Amen.
It doesn't make any sense. If we are following Jesus, we are absolutely in good hands. Isn't that what the psalmist says in the 23rd Psalm? He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." So God as a whole, he says, is my shepherd. But he follows that up and he says, "I shall not want." That means I will not desire. Desire what? Anything else.
Amen.
And the rest of Psalm 23 is the psalmist telling us all about why. He doesn't want anything else but the Lord as his shepherd. You can turn to Psalm 23. That's where we're going to spend our time this morning. Decided to cover Psalm 23 in a morning lesson as opposed to in the afternoon. We are going through the Psalms, but it's going to take a whole lesson to do it. And I figure we just single it out here. You see, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Those of us that have been here on Sunday afternoons will not be surprised to understand the way the poetry flows to see that the rest of the psalm, except a few final remarks, is him simply qualifying why he doesn't desire to follow anyone else but the Lord as his shepherd. What does he say next? He says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." So he gives me rest, but he gives me rest in a location where the food is plentiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a sheep eats food that has enough water in it that they don't have to actually drink much liquid themselves, the sheep can actually go for months sometimes without ever actually dipping their tongue in water if they're in green pastures and there's a lot of dew on the ground and the shepherd is having them feed when the dew is on the ground like that. That's a good shepherd. A shepherd that cares. A shepherd that says, "I want my sheep to have the best. I want my sheep to have what's going to be the best for them." Then he follows it up and he says, "He leads me beside the still waters." Now, why do you think it's important for a shepherd to lead the sheep beside the still waters? Well, because sheep, I'm not making a statement about any of us here, but sheep, as far as livestock go, are not the smartest things in the world.
That's true.
And a sheep, if it gets thirsty enough, will just drink any old nasty, mucky, dirty water. But if the shepherd leads them to clean and pure water, that's what's good for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a sheep, sometimes we don't know what's best for us. Sometimes we think over there is the best, and the shepherd says, "No, over here is the best."
Mm-hmm.
And so the shepherd takes care of us. We're in good hands because he directs our path. He knows better than we do.
Mm-hmm.
He's smarter than us.
Amen.
He knows what's best for us. We may think something else, but he says, no, over here. Come this way. And if we love him and we trust him, we will follow him. And we'll lie down in those green pastures. We'll be taken care of. We will drink the water that he takes us to. We'll be taken care of. What does he say next? He says, he restores my soul. Now remember, he's talking about a shepherd. And the Hebrew word there for restores means to set again upright. You know, sometimes when sheep sit down for rest, if they're on too much of an incline, they go to get up, they fall over, and they can't get up. It's called a cast sheep. Now, sometimes they can get up, but a lot of times they won't. And I've read a lot of shepherds that say, you know, if one of my sheep is missing, the very first thing I think isn't it was predators. The very first thing I think is one of them has fallen down and it can't get up. I actually watched a video last night of a shepherd in Australia, and he brought up the camera, and there was the cast sheep laying down, and it full grown too, and all the other sheep were over there, probably about 200 yards off. This thing's by itself, and it's just laying there, stiff, not even trying to get up. Because you see, the longer the sheep lays there, the blood flow starts to cut off from its legs. So the harder it is for it to get up. Now, sometimes a shepherd has to come along and actually help pick the sheep up, actually push it. But you know, the shepherd's mere presence can help the sheep get up. Actually, when this sheep saw his shepherd, it started to try and get up, and it actually got up all by itself, but only by the encouragement of the mere presence of the shepherd. I find that fascinating. And I'm convinced that's what the psalmist is talking about here. He restores my soul. He sets me upright. When I stumble, when I fall, he's right there.
Amen.
And he wants to set me upright. Sometimes all I need to know is that he's there, and sometimes I need that extra push. But he is the one that helps set me upright. He's the one that encourages me. He's what gives me a reason to get back on the right path.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, some shepherds will even massage the legs of the sheep because the sheep can't get their legs going. And if they lay there long enough, they will die. But the shepherd cares. He restores our soul. And a cast sheep, after it gets up, depending on how long it's been laying there, the one I watched as it's walking back to the flock, it almost walked sideways. It was kind of comical because I didn't expect it, but think about us. What happens when we've stumbled and we've fallen down spiritually? When we start to get back up, do we just spring back up and we're good to go? Very rarely it can happen. But the majority of the time, what happens? We're still kind of weary and kind of a little dizzy over everything that happened. It takes us time to recover. And the shepherd knows that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The shepherd is caring. The shepherd is patient. And he understands that it takes some effort sometimes for us to get upright. He understands that once we do, sometimes we may stumble a little here and there until everything gets back to normal. He understands that. That's a loving and caring shepherd. And we ought to desire the care of the shepherd, to be under the management of the great shepherd.
Amen.
But then the psalmist says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The paths of righteousness. You know, if you just let sheep kind of do their own thing and don't lead them around anywhere, they'll pretty much stick to a location that they really like. And what happens? Well, the grass can't grow back. And so the location they're at is no longer the best place for them to be. They need someone to take them somewhere else from time to time so that it can grow back and then take them back there. Keep them moving. The paths of righteousness. God leads us places we never thought we'd be. We never thought we'd go, and we never imagined. We could have never conceptualized going there, but what happens when we follow God? He leads us where He wants us.
Amen.
I never thought that I would be a preacher. Never. And once I was at preaching school, I never thought that I would find a congregation to work for. When I graduated preaching school, I was even more convinced of that because I simply couldn't find one. And then y'all know how we found you. I didn't expect that to happen. I didn't expect to fill in on a Sunday to turn into what this has become. All of us growing and learning together and being encouraged. The paths of righteousness that God leads us in. You see, often we think of, oh, the paths of righteousness, that means, you know, don't lie or don't steal, and that's true. But the thing is that if we're obeying God, we'll see the many paths in front of us in life.
Amen.
Say there's a given moment in our life where we have five choices to make about the outcome of what's going to happen. Well, let's say that three of those choices are ungodly choices. So we have two choices now, right? And both of those are godly choices, and at that point we pray about it, and God puts it in our hands, but He has still given us a path. He has directed us. No, He's not speaking directly to our minds and saying, Anthony, go over here and do this, but if I know His will, it does direct me through my life.
Amen.
And so because of that, and knowing that, I'm sure we could have found another congregation and that would have been all right. So my friend, you know, some of my friends are looking for preaching work. I tell them, I say, I'm not praying that you get the job. I'm praying that wherever God wants you to be, wherever would be best for you to be, if it's still working a 9-to-5, or if it's working with a congregation, you know, that's what I pray happens. The paths of righteousness. And that applies all across the board. We should want God, we should want to be where God wants us.
Amen.
Because I'm sure we've all discovered a whole lot of times, God wants us somewhere else than where we want to be. And the way we tried to go, it didn't work out for us.
True.
But the way we went, because God led us, it actually worked out in the end. We just didn't foresee it at the outset. And because of that, we're in good hands. We don't desire any other shepherd. But He says that He does this for His name's sake. I find that fascinating. Why would God do it for His name's sake? Essentially, for His reputation. I think maybe the shepherd takes care of his flock so that he has a good reputation, so that other people want to be his sheep. When we, as those that say that Jesus is our shepherd, that the Lord is our shepherd, if we don't walk in the paths of righteousness, we give God a bad name.
Amen.
When I say I love God, but I don't live my life. I don't walk the path. I'm not next to the still waters. I'm not in the green pastures. People see that, and it gives God a bad name.
Yes, it is. Amen.
It gives the good and loving shepherd a poor reputation. But that's not his fault. That's the sheep's fault. Mm-hmm. He says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, so that he is elevated and so that more sheep may be drawn to him. But then the verse that probably most are familiar with because of how this psalm is usually used. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why not? He says, for thou, he's referring to the shepherd, for thou art with me. And he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, depending on the season, the shepherd will have to take a long trek and take his sheep elsewhere for the season so that they can continue to have good nourishment. And over there in what we call the Bible lands, over there in Palestine, what's the best way up a mountain? Well, many times it's first through the valley. But when you go through the valley, your sheep are susceptible to all manner of predators, right? So what does the good shepherd do? Well, first the good shepherd goes and he scopes it out. Takes a look at the valley. Takes a look at where he's heading. He doesn't just blindly go, well, we're going to find a mountain. He leads them by first looking and understanding and knowing where he's going to take them. And then he takes them. The paths of righteousness will often lead us through deep, shadowy valleys. See, the valley of the shadow of death, many people say, oh, he's talking about death here. He's not. Translators got a little bit poetic on us there. It just means the deep, dark valley. So he's talking about. If I walk in the paths of righteousness, eventually it will lead me into a valley where I am looking around and I'm going, how is this a good place to be? How am I going to get out? Why is this a good place to be? But trusting the shepherd, the sheep follow. Why? Because for one, it says that he is with them. He didn't just say, all right, sheep, go that way. Have fun. When we're walking the paths of righteousness and they lead us to a shadowy valley that we're uncomfortable with and we start to feel unsafe and we're not sure of, remember, the shepherd is there with us. Because if his path led us there, he's with us. But it also says concerning this, his rod and his staff, they comfort him. His rod and his staff. Now the rod would be basically a good-sized stick with a ball on the end of it. Mm-hmm. And the staff is sort of that quintessential thing we think of when we think of the shepherd, the big old hooked staff. And they were used for two different things. The rod was used for protection and discipline. He would protect the sheep. A predator comes, that rod was like an extension of his arm. And it said that some of them could even train to the point where they could just throw it and hit their target real well. They protect the sheep. We're in that valley, but the shepherd is with us. And the shepherd is protecting us. But not only that, because the rod is used for discipline, that means that the discipline of the Lord should comfort us as well.
Amen.
That's an awkward thought to some. that God disciplining me should comfort me. But what's the point of discipline? Set you back on the right path.
Amen.
So the shepherd is there to make sure that no predator takes you off the right path, to make sure you don't take yourself off the right path, to make sure other sheep don't take you off the right path. That video I watched of the cast sheep when he was making his way back to the flock. An older ram caught wind of this and saw that he was kind of wobbling, and as the flock turned to look at him, this older ram took advantage of this and just charged him. Boom, right in the side. Now, the way a modern shepherd is, where they have their own land and all these technological things, a lot of them don't really discipline that. But a shepherd back in the day when this psalm was written, that ram would have been popped upside the head with that rod to let him know, you're not the one in authority here. I am. And it's said that with the sheep, they have their own sort of pecking order, but and they'll have problems with one another, but as soon as the shepherd shows up, and they can see him a lot of times, they stop. See, but the good shepherd is always present. His discipline comforts us. That rod comforts us because he is looking out for us, but we have to stay on that righteous path. But the staff with the hook on the end, that is for comfort, and that is for care. See, there are two. The main use is when a sheep would fall down, a cast sheep, sometimes they'd have to use that to help pull them up. Or if they get caught in a thicket, they can help pull them out. Or sometimes, with some of the smaller sheep, they would just hook them and just nudge them a little closer to themselves, just to let them know, hey, I'm still here. And it'd comfort them. With the older sheep, they would take the staff and they would just kind of nudge them on their back, just to calm them down and comfort them. And if they're going through a dark valley, they're going through a place the sheep are getting a little bit uncertain with, maybe they're supposed to go to this direction and some of the sheep aren't sure about it, he would just poke them a little bit with it. Let them know, hey, I'm still here. This is where I want you to go. And that would calm the sheep. And that would comfort them. And they would follow. See, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want anything else. Imagine a sheep being taken care of by this shepherd saying, man, I want to be in the hands of another shepherd. Doesn't make any sense. And yet sometimes we start thinking that way. But we shouldn't. Because as long as we're following the shepherd, we are in good hands. What does he say next? He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In the presence of my enemies. We'll follow this thought here of changing seasons and walking through that dark valley to get up to that mountaintop there, the top of the ridge to where greater nourishment is for that season. He prepares a table before me in the presence of the predators, and yet I'm still not afraid because he's still there. He's still there with his rod. He's still there with his staff. Many see the nourishment that the Lord provides, but they see the path they have to take in order to obtain it. Mm-hmm. They see the danger in that path. They see maybe that their family will turn on them. Maybe the friends will turn on them, something like that. And they say, you know what? I no longer want that nourishment. But not the sheep of the shepherd.
Amen.
The true sheep say, I want that nourishment no matter what, because that's where God wants me to be. He has provided this nourishment for me. He has given me every reason and every way to get there if I just take advantage of it. If I just love Him for who He is and follow Him. He says, "You," or "Thou anointest my head with oil." Now, until I studied this in context to the shepherd and the sheep, I always thought of, you know, how God would anoint the priests or the kings, and that's not what this is talking about. See, there are a whole lot of pests that sheep have to put up with. And I'm not talking about one another. Certain kinds of flies. A certain kind of fly will actually get in their nose and lay eggs in their nose. And the larva, when they hatch, they'll burrow through and basically drive the sheep mad. And the sheep will be slamming their head up against rocks and stuff because it hurts so much. Sometimes they end up killing themselves. But there's an oil. There is a salve, a natural remedy that a shepherd can utilize to put on their nose. Keep that from happening. There's other things as well, like scab that is on their head. And sheep tend to rub heads with one another as a social thing, and they pass it to one another. And the shepherd can also make up another salve to put that on their heads. As a matter of fact, some shepherds will dunk an entire sheep in this and dunk their heads several times in it to keep them healthy. See, God wants us to be healthy, and I'm not talking about physical health. Sure, He wants us to be physically healthy, but for some of us, that may not be the direction that He has in mind for us. He's talking about spiritual health here.
Amen.
And He provides the salve for those that follow Him. Shepherd's not going to give the salve to a sheep over there that doesn't care about Him. But one that follows Him, absolutely, He makes sure to provide it. And then the sheep now comments on this. And he says, "My cup runneth over." My cup runneth over. He's commenting on how good He has it. He just told us why He doesn't desire any other shepherd. And then he says, "If I ask for a drink, I get more than I asked for. My cup runs over. I have it so well. I would never want to be in the hands of any other so-called shepherd, because I'm in good hands exactly where I am." And he ends it. And he says, "Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Goodness and mercy will follow me. Goodness and mercy from the shepherd. Think about that last line there. "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." How many shepherds do you know that just let all their sheep come in and live in their house with them? Seems kind of silly, right? And yet that's the exact image that the psalmist is giving to us. That is how much this shepherd loves his sheep. He says, "You can live in my house." That's an awesome thought. That the shepherd doesn't say, "Well, you have this or that, or you kind of have your thing." He says, "No, come to where I am. Have it as good as I have it." Mm-hmm. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Why not? Because if we are a sheep of the Lord, true sheep of the Lord, we are in perfect hands.
Amen.
We're taken care of. It may not always seem like it because of the deep, dark valleys we go through sometimes, but He says, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Be comforted by me. Follow those paths of righteousness and be nourished. Be taken care of.
Amen.
Kind of upsetting to me that this is so well known as the funeral psalm, because it has nothing to do with dying. It has everything to do with living.
Amen.
And following the shepherd. Oh, there may be an implication there in the very last line that he'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But how many times have you been to a funeral and they read this psalm? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with utilizing this psalm at a funeral. But God didn't intend this initially. The psalmist was not thinking about death.
No.
When he wrote this, he was thinking about life and being taken care of here and now. Jesus said that He is the shepherd. Turn to John 10. We'll end here in John 10. John 10, verse 1 says, Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. Why would he flee from the voice of the stranger? Because that's not the shepherd that's been taking care of us.
Amen.
That's not the shepherd that's been caring for us, so we don't follow that. It says, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So first he says, I'm the door. I'm the gate to the sheepfold. The only way to salvation is through Jesus.
Amen.
Through the gate, the only way into the fold. The only way to become a member of the Lord's church.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about. And he says, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. It's exactly what Jesus did.
Amen.
But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You can't ask for a better shepherd than that.
Amen.
He cared so much that he gave his life so that we can live.
Amen.
He says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. He's talking there about the fact that the Jews and the Gentiles would all follow one religion, Christianity, the way of the shepherd.
Amen.
He says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus is the good shepherd.
Amen.
Who cares so much that he died so that we could be set up right again. So that we could go from someone who is cast to being upright and following him and loving him and trusting him and knowing that wherever he leads me in life, as long as he's the one leading me there, I'm in good hands.
Amen.
I'm absolutely taken care of. So we have to ask ourselves, are we in good hands? Are we really in good hands? Do we trust God the way the psalmist of Psalm 23 trusted God? Do we view God the way the psalmist did? I hope if you didn't before, now you do. To appreciate the care of the Lord.
Amen.
Can only be in good hands with the Lord in this day if we follow Jesus. We have to follow Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the only way in. And I died for my sheep.
Amen.
Have to be a sheep of the Lord. The only way to be a sheep of the Lord is to know His voice and follow Him. That's what He says.
Amen.
Not following what anyone else says, but what Jesus says. Not what I say, Anthony Mertz up here. Not what I tell you. Not what anyone else tells you, but what Jesus has told us through the Bible.
Amen.
That is His voice.
Amen.
And that's what we follow. And if we obey His voice, we'll be taken care of. Are you listening to the voice of the shepherd? Have you decided to follow Jesus the way He says to follow Him? If you don't know how that is, we can help you with that. But if you have followed Jesus, but you became cast, right now, this moment, this day, He is there. He is in your presence, encouraging you to get up. He'll give you a push if He needs to. Sometimes that's through others, through other Christians, through other sheep. We can help. But we can only help if you make it known to us. If you keep it inside, there's nothing we can do to help you. We can pray, but we don't even know that you have a problem. So God wants you to be in His care, no matter who you are. So if you want that to happen for you, if you've never been in His care before, you have and you're currently cast, we're here for you this day. And we love you. And we ask you to make it known to us if we can help you in any way as we stand and sing.